Did you guys bring Bibles? If you have one with you and you'd open to the 100th Psalm, I heard you say that you were learning or hearing last night about worshiping the Lord. And that Psalm helps us a little bit, I think, to understand about worship. The Bible talks a lot about that subject. You know, every one of you here, bar none, every single one of you are excellent worshipers. Everybody here, you are good at it. You just know how to do it. It's just in you somehow or other, that ability. It's innate. That I guess you were born that way with this ability and propensity to worship. It's just a matter of who it is that you worship or what it is that you worship. We all worship. There's a man that looked at this a little bit, and he actually produced something about it, and he showed some pictures from all different kinds of things. He showed pictures of the hot dog eating contest at Coney Island. Did you ever hear about that? Yeah. I think the guy shoved down 138 Frankfurt. Could that possibly be? It's almost unbelievable to me. If that's what I saw, I think I saw it correctly. An awful lot of hot dogs. How can you put that many of you? How many of you can do that? How many can eat 10 hot dogs in 12 minutes? No, you couldn't. Yeah? We'll try it sometime. Not at camp. We'll do it at home. All right. Yeah, that's a lot of Frankfurters. Some of you think you can do that. But they showed the crowd in front of the thing. They introduced the guy that won it. And there were the people in the crowd all around, gathered all over there in front of Coney Island's Nathan's Famous. And the people were standing there, and they were like this. Ah, yeah, yeah, ah, yeah. What made them do that? Well, they were just full out blast worshiping and praising and honoring and glorifying Joey Chestnut because he ate 138 hot dogs. Whoa, that was great. You're wonderful. You're great. You're tremendous. You ever go to a baseball game? You've been there. Basketball game? I don't know. I mean, if you were a Knicks fan, somebody that gave a testimony before, you had orange and blue. You look like you have a Knicks kind of shirt, but I didn't see any Knicks logo on it. But those are pretty much the colors. And I wonder, you know, can you go to a basketball game if you're a basketball fan and the game's tied and it's in double overtime and your guy, whoever it might be, let's say, for instance, it might be Carmelo Anthony, and he's got the ball, which he always does, and he's dribbling around there at the end of the game, and he's getting ready to, you know, 2-1, and he launches it, whoa, swish. What would you do if you were there? Yeah, Brother Renee, that's what you would do. That's what the crowd all does. Yay! You don't find anybody sitting there saying, oh, look at them. Look at they're all up on their feet. Worship. They're all up on their feet, happy and glad and rejoiced. Look at those people. You don't find people saying that. You find them all, me too. Or maybe. We get happy. We get excited when our guy does whatever. And people have that ability to do that. But the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us there's really only one that is worthy to be praised, to be worshipped. There's really only one. Now, we can get excited over the winning score of a basketball game or a home run hit at the end of a baseball game or some other event or something that you might particularly like, but there's only one really worthy of that level of praise, of thanks. Jesus is the only one that's worthy. And in Psalm 100, if you have it, I'd just like to read a few verses, or I'd like to read the Psalm. The Psalm is only a few verses. And it talks to us, the whole Psalm does, about worship. And it says, and I'm not going to start at the beginning. Well, let me start at the beginning. Let me just read it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now you find in that psalm three reasons. There are many more than three in the Bible. But Psalm 100 tells us three reasons why we should praise the Lord or worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Number one is, know ye, know this, that the Lord, He is God. Now that's a concept that's difficult for all of us to really grasp. You're younger than I am, and when you get to be as old as I am, you'll still not be able to fully understand God. Nobody could ever understand God. You have to be bigger than God to understand God. You need to accept by faith that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. In Genesis 1:1, who knows what that Bible verse says? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God was. God is eternal. Now, I don't understand that. God has no beginning. God always existed. Before the beginning, God was. God wasn't there at the beginning. He began the beginning. Because He's an eternal God. Know that the Lord is God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. I don't understand that. That's too big for my mind to comprehend. But what it teaches me and tells me is that I have a God who is enormous, a God who is big, a God who is omnipotent, a God who is omniscient. That means He's all-powerful, He's all-seeing, He's all-knowing, and that's the God that we have. The Lord is our God. Know that He is God. Not only that, though, it is He that hath made us. This God is a creator. You didn't evolve. You didn't come from an amoeba and graduate to a frog and graduate to a... Where do you go from a frog? Whatever, and eventually get to be a monkey, and soon enough you got to be who you are. You didn't come around that way. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. He has created us. God, this great big God, is a creator God. I was reading not long ago about the creation and about our Creator, and I came across something by a man named Sir Francis Crick. That's a funny name. Crick and Watson, they are two scientists, two molecular biologists. And Crick and Watson are kind of known, if you know molecular biology, and I don't, excepting what I read about them recently. Crick founded or came up with this idea of DNA. And the double helix, some of you learned about that in school. He's the one that kind of looked into that and came up with the structure of it. And he and Watson worked on this for a long, long time in molecular biology. And really smart people, really have a good, keen insight and understanding into the human body and chromosomes and genes and all that good kind of stuff. And he said this. He's not a Christian. And he's far from being a Christian. But this is what he had said. He said, the chances of a single molecule coming into existence by chance is zero. Zero. Now, I didn't say that. The theologian didn't say that. Billy Graham didn't say that. Brother Hans Waldfogel didn't say that. Oh, we may all have said that. But when Sir Francis Crick says it, a molecular biologist, it has a little bit more weight than if I or you or we together collectively would come up with something like that. The chances of something like a molecule just coming out of no place and just starting something, he feels the chances of all that is zero. You are created by God, fearfully and wonderfully made by a great God. Know that the Lord, He is God, and He has made us. The average male... Now, some of us are a little bit bigger than others, but the average, whatever the average male, is made of 58 pounds of oxygen, 50 quarts of water, 2 ounces of salt, 3 pounds of calcium, 24 pounds of carbon, a little chlorine mixed in, and a whole bunch of iron, and this and zinc, and all kinds of stuff and minerals, all mixed up and mushed in. That's what you are. That's what you are. Now, how did that all come about right? How come you, if you had a few pounds of lead in you, and some of you, or iron, some of you, the way you move, it might seem like you do. But if you had a little too much of which one of these minerals, you'd be really sick, maybe dead. How did that all come in the right proportion? How did that happen that way? It's really coincidental, isn't it? It's pretty neat. No, it's not coincidental. It is He that has made us. Your eye has 100 million receptors. That's receiving the light and doing what it does. 100 million in your eyeball. Now, that just doesn't happen. The eye, they tell me, is one of the most complicated and complex parts of your body. To figure out how that works and the way it works and why it works and what happens and the interaction with the brain and giving you the ability to see and to see colors and to see depth. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. But the Lord is God. And He has made us. And He's made us tremendously. And when you look just a little bit and scratch the surface, I know hardly anything. But the little that I do know makes me to see the greatness of my God. And over again in the Bible, when the Apostle Paul preached, or when others taught or spoke in the Bible, they often used God who created all things, the creator of everything. He'd go to a town, did the Apostle Paul, where people didn't know the scriptures, didn't know anything about God. And he'd go in there and he'd say, the God had created us. He made us. How big a God He is that He could create the way you are with those 100 million receptors in your eye. Your ears. Your ears have 24,000 fibers that vibrate and fine-tune the things. Now, right now, some of you are trying to tune out. You got out of the 24,000, you got only 3,000 working still. But it's an amazing thing how you can hear. And those little things, they got things that are moving in there and flapping and flopping. You got hammers and anvils and all kinds of stuff going on. And you've got 24,000 of these fibers that are vibrating at different speeds, different sizes. And so they take the tunes and the sounds that you hear and give you the ability to understand and interpret them. And you can understand music when you hear it being played and voices when you hear them spoken. Some things are in the background, some things are in the foreground. It's amazing how your ears work, how your eyes work. It is He that hath made us. God has created you in a wonderful way. Yeah, I got a few more. If I read these and then I couldn't believe some of what I was reading. And I thought, well, maybe it's not right. So I looked more into it. I Googled other sites to see, and I came up with virtually the same statistics. Some were a little different, some were a little more, a little less, but virtually the same. Let me just read them to you. You have, well, you know how many bones you have in your body, right? How many bones you got, Courtney? I think that's it. You get the prize, Courtney. I don't know what the prize is, but you get the prize. 206 bones. Now, how many of you can name all 206? It's really not that hard. But we're not going to try now. That would take too much time. We want to get out of here, don't we? No? Okay. 200, that's your bones holding you up. But listen to this. 7 miles... of nerve fibers. 7 miles of nerve fibers. I think I'm right that the thruway, Brother Tom, is the northway, about 7 miles from here, a little more than 7 miles, right?
Yeah.
Crossroads is 7 miles or so. Your nerve fibers, we can stretch you out. That's a lot of nerve. From here all the way to the crossroads. See, what I'm trying to suggest to you guys and everyone here tonight is that God is a big God. And you know, you can think, well, it just happened. And just dismiss it and not ever think about it. Really? I mean, you'd have to have more faith to believe that, you know, there was an explosion in a dictionary factory or something like that and words just popped out. It has to be that there's a creator, because where there's a design, there must be a designer. Well, I also read that the heart pumps 36 million times a year. 36 million times. No wonder why I'm so tired. 36 million times a year. 60 million gallons of blood, 600,000 miles of blood vessels, 22 trillion blood cells. In one day, your blood travels 12,000 miles. That one I couldn't believe. So I looked it up and I found three other sites that said your blood travels 12,000 miles in a day. 12,000 miles. Your blood goes from here to California, back to New York, back to California, back to New York every single day. Boom, ba da boom, ba da boom, ba da boom, ba da boom, boom, boom. And when you run, like some of you do, it probably goes a little further than that. That's a lot of moving. That's a lot of machinery going. That's a lot of creative power. And he keeps it all running and keeps it all in check. And he's worried those eye receptors and those ear things and all those nerves and all those 200 trillion blood cells and carrying all this through your body. And it's just an amazing thing that the heart pumps 100 million barrels of blood in your lifetime. You didn't evolve. None of us did. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. And I am of the opinion that a creator who is a God like that and who could create a person like that, a universe like he's created, he's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be praised. But the next statement that's made in Psalm 100, it's even more wonderful to me. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. And then it says, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his people. We belong to that God, that Lord, that Jesus, that Creator, that very powerful, omnipotent God who is from everlasting to everlasting, who will never change, and we belong to him. I call him, I don't know what you call him, but I call him Father. My Father, our Father, who art in heaven. We belong to his family. We belong to his flock. He is a good shepherd of his sheep. And shepherds give their lives for their sheep. Literally sometimes. They lay down their lives. They care for their flock. They care for their sheep. God has so much going on that he needs to care for, but he can do it all. He can keep everything running the way that he does. And he has the time to him doesn't mean anything. He takes care of me like a shepherd tenderly cares for that flock and those sheep. So the Lord tenderly cares for every one of us. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. And then those are just three reasons why you have what we have in Psalm 100 is to why it is that we are or we can or should be worshiping him. The whole goal of our life is to worship him, to glorify him, to honor him, to thank him, and to praise him. That's not just in church, that's out of church. It's wherever we are, we can worship him and thank and praise and glorify him. And we do. We enter in, though, to where we gather together, like you guys came in tonight, and we all came into this room, or we come into our church buildings on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever you go to church. We enter into his gates with, what's the word? Thanksgiving, giving thanks to him, a spirit of thanksgiving, not murmuring, not grumbling, not complaining, not moaning, not groaning, not hoping it gets over with. You'll never get anything from God with that attitude and that spirit. We enter into his gates if we really understand who he is, how great a God he is. What a privilege we have to worship and honor and love him and hear from him and meet with him and have fellowship with him. He's our shepherd that takes care of us, meets our needs, helps us when we're down, lifts us when we're in need, helps us when we're in despair, transforms our lives. We feel his presence. We know the reality of our good shepherd with us. What a privilege it is to come into his presence with thanksgiving. And that's what the psalmist says. Enter into his gates with thankful heart, thanking him for what he's done. Every single day, you should give thanks to the Lord for what he's done. Every single day. Don't let a day go past you. And worship and thank him for what he's done. My uncle, some of you might remember Brother Frank Posta. He was a pastor, and he was told by the Lord one time that he should keep a journal. And every single day for 1 year, he was instructed to write down in a little book something that he was thankful for. Something that he was thankful for. And I wound up, when he passed away, I have that little book. I think I might still have it. I'm not sure. That little notebook that he kept. I thank the Lord today for his precious blood. I thank the Lord today for the sunshine. I thank the Lord today for it. Sometimes it was rather mundane. Sometimes it was very spiritual. But every single day for a year, he thanked the Lord. He thanked the Lord. He thanked the Lord. And there's a pastor by the name of Brother Finner. And that was his pastor. And after 1 year, 1 year to the day, Brother Finner wasn't keeping a journal. He didn't write on his calendar when he started, Brother Frank, and when he ended. But to the day, Brother Finner, in that meeting, went over to Brother Frank and said to him, "The Lord wants you to know that because you were faithful in thanking him, he's put within your heart a thankful spirit." You know, that's a good thing to have. It really is. It'll take you a long way in life if you can in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But these things just don't happen because. They happen because we apply ourselves, because we open up the doors, we open up our hearts, we open up our lives to a wonderful, great, big Creator, Shepherd God who loves us and gave himself for us. So it's not hard to come into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Oh, that's such a good way to come into the house of God. There's so many meetings at home, and some of you who come to Ozone Park maybe get tired. Oh, I don't know if you notice it, but often at the beginning of a meeting, "Lord, thank you for the privilege we have of entering into your gates with thanksgiving and coming into your courts with praise." That's the way you should always come into the presence of the Lord. With thankful hearts, with hearts full of praise to him. Not for necessarily what he's done, but for who he is. Who is he? In this psalm it says the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Do you know the Lord is good? And not only is the Lord good, but what else does it say he is? He is merciful. The Lord is good. He's merciful. And his truth endureth, lasts, from generation to generation to generation. Oh, thank you, Lord. I praise you. I glorify you. I honor you. Now, yet one more thing yet that we didn't look at in the psalm that I want to look at with you. Is how do we do this? How is it that we're supposed to worship him? Like they worship him at Coney Island or at a football game or a basketball game. How do we worship the Lord? Well, we worship the Lord in this psalm, it says, make a joyful noise. Any of you guys know how to make noise? You know how to make noise. It says in the New International Version, and maybe the translation you have in front of you, shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Now you might say, but you know, there are different ways we can worship him. I understand that. I understand you don't have to shout to worship him necessarily. You can be very sober, not somber, but sober. But you can be quiet in your worship. I understand it, and the Bible talks about that. But we're reading Psalm 100 right now. And in Psalm 100 it says, shout to the Lord, all ye lands. You know, it really is okay to shout to the Lord. I don't know if you knew that. But the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. In the 12th chapter of Isaiah, we read that he's taken us out of the miry clay. He's taken us out of the pit. He used to be angry with us, but no more. His anger's turned away and he comforts us. He's now our salvation. And we draw water out of these wells of salvation. And then the last verse of Isaiah 12 says that we're to shout to him, great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. I don't know, when was the last time that you shouted to the Lord? When was the last time that you opened your mouth and said, praise the Lord, for he is good? When was the last time you opened your mouth? You say, well, I don't do that. Well, the Bible says that you should. Worship includes the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And what a privilege and opportunity we have when we gather together, especially, but not only, but when we gather together as the people of God, and there are different ones that begin to worship the Lord. And they begin to shout to the Lord. And they begin to clap their hands. And they begin to lift their arms. Well, why? Because we naturally have an affinity to worship the thing that we love, that we like, that we gravitate to. Not a sports figure, not certainly not an entertainer, and not some other human being or person or thing, but we get to worship and praise and glorify and honor our wonderful, great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shout to the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You know, there's a farmer one time, and this farmer, he and his wife were going to go to the city, the big city, for the first time. Any of you live on a farm? Nobody lives on a farm? Me neither. But this old couple, it was their 25th wedding anniversary, and so for their anniversary, they were going to take a little trip, and they were going to go to the big city, so they went to the big city. And when they got to the big city, they were looking around what to do. You could go to a museum, you could go to the park, you can do this. Well, they saw some guy that would take you up in a little airplane. And that's pretty neat, an aerial view of the big city. We can do that. And so they thought about it, and then they went to the guy and they said, what do you charge to take us up in that airplane? The guy said, it's $100 per person. This was a lot of years ago. I wonder if it's probably more now, but $100 per person to take you up into that airplane. And so the farmer and his wife looked at each other and they thought about it and they said, no, that's too much money. We don't got $100 to pay, $200 between the two of us. So they start walking away and the pilot says, hey, wait a minute, come back. I'll tell you what I'll do. This will make a deal. You get in the plane, we'll go up in the plane. I'll fly you around a little bit and we'll land. And if you do not say one word for that whole flight, free of charge, no cost. If anybody opens their mouth, if you say one word, just one thing, $100 from you, $100 from you. Deal? They talked about it. The guy wasn't too sure he could keep his wife quiet for all that time. But then she wasn't too sure he could keep quiet himself. But they decided, well, we'll give it a go. We'll try it. If we don't make it, so we lose $200. That's a lot of money for us, but we'll see what we can do. So they go up in the plane. Plane takes off. And that pilot, he's flying over the city, and he's coming near the buildings, and just at the last minute, he pulls up and takes up, and then he cuts the engines, and the thing takes a nosedive down, and he's flying loop-de-loops. He doesn't hear a sound, nothing. So he's thinking, man, I don't know what to do to get these. So he's trying to turn, swerve, and all the rest of that stuff. No sound, no nothing. So he comes back, he hits the runway, and he's taxiing in, and he says, well, I guess you don't owe me anything. And then he says, how'd you do it? The old guy says, well, it was really pretty hard. It was especially hard when Mama fell out. You know, sometimes it's pretty hard for me. Sometimes it's pretty hard not to say anything, not to cry out, not to shout. You know, the Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has saved us from our sins. The Lord has poured out His Spirit upon us. The Lord has worked in our hearts. He's given us Himself to be our shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. And it's comely, the Bible uses that word, it's only proper and right for us to praise and to shout to Him and to honor Him and glorify Him. That's our privilege and our prerogative. And yet, sometimes we're like Mama and Papa. We don't. I'm not going to praise Him. We sang tonight. I think we sang tonight. I will praise Him. I will praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people. What? His blood has washed away each stain. You can't sing. I don't think I can sing that song and just, all right, so let's bring it on. What's next? So what? Yeah, great. I'm glad. But it elicits a response when we consider all that the Lord has done for us. We never will cease to praise Him. Shout to the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. come before His presence with thanksgiving. Know that the Lord is God. He's made us, not we ourselves. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Oh, I'm so thankful that we can worship the Lord tonight. And as we close this meeting shortly, and as you go back to wherever it is that you live, in Onantum or Natick or the village or right here around the lot someplace, we can go with a joy in our hearts, worshiping the One who has called us out of darkness, who's touched our lives, who's worked in us. And as we worship Him as a way of life, as we praise and thank and honor and glorify Him as a way of life, He comes to us. That's His way. Whoso offereth praise, the Bible says, glorifies me. And that's the way I show to that person my salvation. That's the road whereby I can come to that individual. That's how I can reach that life. I can pour out my Spirit upon them. I can work in them in a more wonderful and glorious way. It says they open their hearts to me and worship me, and worship me for who I am. Oh, God is so great, and He's so worthy of our adoration, of our thanks, and of our praise. A.W. Tozer, if you've ever heard that name, said, you know, people that don't know how to worship God here must be very, very uncomfortable if they were to get to heaven. Because in heaven, we worship Him. We praise Him, worthy the Lamb that was slain. Lord, we thank You tonight. You've done great things for us. We've heard testimonies from these young men and some of the staff and some of the guests here tonight, Lord, giving You the glory, thanking You for what You've done. And Lord, when we consider who it is that You are, when we consider that You are God, and You have made us, and You are our shepherd, and You've given Your life for us, oh Lord, it naturally elicits from our hearts a thanksgiving, a praise, a shout, an adoration. And we pray, Lord, that You will help us to yield ourselves to worshiping You, to worship You in the beauty of holiness. The Father seeketh such. And we pray, Lord, that You'll find among every one of us those who worship in spirit and in truth. Oh, Lord, thank You. Thank You for the opportunity to be together tonight. Thank You, dear Lord, that we can glorify You. We pray Your continued blessing upon each one of our lives throughout the remainder of this period. Lord, bless the boys in the days to come. We pray, Lord, that You'll continue to work in their hearts. Bless those of us here as long as we'll be here, Lord, in a few days, a day, or a week, or whatever it may be. Continue to work in our lives, and we'll be careful to give You all the praise and all the glory that is due unto Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.